is making me feel like such an outsider.
Stemmed from hatred, right?
Go out and meet those people.
Yeah.
Open up a dialogue, speak to them.
Hello and welcome to Colour Coded, the podcast where we talk about life, cultures and relationships. I'm Alex.
I'm Afsa.
And today we are going to be diving into a bit more of a serious topic. Afsa, do you want to kind of start with this?
Yes. So obviously you've mentioned stuff on our socials already, but we thought as we have this platform, this podcast, we thought we would just delve into what's happening currently in the UK with all the far-right riots and protests that we have at the moment.
I couldn't agree more. I think we've both been really shocked and upset seeing all of the things in the news. Shall we start with not where it started, because obviously this has been something that's been going on for years and years and years, but where this uprising has started from?
Yes, so obviously in the wake of the horrific incident that happened in Southport, obviously the spread of misinformation on social media, which played a massive part and really garnered a big chunk of the far right to rally everyone around to go and protest and, to damage the local community and take away from the horrific incident that did happen and take away from the families that were mourning the loved ones that were lost and still in hospital in critical care at the moment, which is so sad when you think about it. So they completely took that away from that family. And I just felt like it was an excuse for the far right to really push their hatred onto the mainstream just because of a few social media posts. And unfortunately, which led to damages to mosques, Islamophobic chants. And it was a very, very ugly scene, but it didn't stop there. Of course, this kind of spread like wildfire. Now it's in loads of other cities around the UK. And every day we're seeing, because initially I thought, okay, the police are going to handle this, the government's going to handle this, and it's going to boil over fairly quickly. And, but it hasn't. And it's every day we hear of another city, something happening in another city, and which has led us now, because all we see on the news right now is literally rioting, violence, police being, attacked. And also we've seen, police stations being set on fire. We've seen mosques trying to set fire to a mosque. I saw online as well, someone tried to set fire to a library opposite a primary school. Like, I genuinely don't understand what message, what you're trying to kind of establish or trying to gain from doing these acts. And as well, obviously, looting, shoe zone, like shops in your high street, you're damaging the community more. For what? Like, I don't really understand why the far right are doing this, but yeah.
They're literally damaging their local community, and then they're waking up the next day, and where do they need to go? Into their local community that they've literally just damaged the night before?
Mm.
None of this makes sense. And the fact is that it stemmed from hatred, right?
Of course.
So this is hatred that's been spread across social media. And this is, as much as I love social media, and we are content creators, so we are very aware of the power of it, but also the reality of the negative things.
Definitely.
And sadly, the way algorithms work, although they can be great in that you will get pushed things that you like, it doesn't show you the unbiased version. So for example, if you are somebody that identifies with far-right views and you watch us on something like TikTok, the algorithm then will post and push more far-right views towards you. And the reason they do that is because it keeps you on TikTok.
That's it.
And if they keep you on TikTok or Instagram, that makes them more money.
Definitely,
right?
Yeah.
So they want to keep their audiences watching. So they're going to push posts that they know that the person watching them likes.
Exactly, yeah.
Which then leads to people who, I mean, obviously this is great for other things. If you're really into crafting, you're creating, that's great. But when it's about ideologies, it is giving people a very, very biased view on things.
Definitely.
And it is pushing an agenda. And I'm not saying this is obviously the only reason. There are lots of other things, but definitely social media and the spread of misinformation is having a huge impact on these communities.
Definitely. And again, if you don't really know people of a different ethnicity, different religion, and all you're seeing is what's coming from social media.
Yeah.
And you're getting information from the wrong types of people, like the far right people with very extreme opinions and views. You know, you're going to be in a very deep hole in the social media sphere of, you know, all your TikToks, Instagrams, YouTubes as well, as it plays a big part. You're going to start, you know, building this hatred inside of you without even knowing, this bias inside of you without even noticing.
I think I saw on, I think it was the Stephen Bartlett Diary of a CEO podcast. He had a guest on there, and they were talking about, not necessarily misinformation, but if you want to believe something is true, you only have to hear it about 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know the full, if I can find it, I'll try and put it in the description. But the fact that if you hear a statement 3 times, the first time you hear it and you might question it, the second time you hear it and you might start feeling, okay, well, maybe that is true. By the third time, that can be secured in your view. And obviously this is not with everything, but this can have such an impact. So if you think you're seeing those far-right videos over and over and over again, you are going to then start to believe those things. Potentially.
But no, it makes complete sense. And the only way to really tackle that is actually go out to your local community, meet people, have a conversation, be open and honest, and just go there, speak to them, and don't have any bias, preconceived bias in your head because you've seen this, that. If you feel if you feel a certain way about a certain group, go out and meet those people.
Yeah.
Open up a dialogue, speak to them, find out what, you know,
Ask questions.
That's the main thing. It's just
ask questions, because if you do not get it directly from the source, from the people, how are you ever going to know? How are you ever going to really understand what their lived reality is?
Exactly.
Or, you know, there's a huge one, is that I feel like the far right, basically every immigrant that they hear about, they believe has come over on a rubber dinghy illegally.
Yeah.
That is not the case for many, many, many people who come to the UK. And this whole, they're stealing our jobs. It's just not even, do you know what I mean?
It doesn't really make sense. Like, for example, most of the immigrants that are working at the moment, they're coming over to help the economy as well. Don't forget, because I read this whole article the other day. We've got an aging population because people are living longer. And again, this gentleman, he put out all the statistics, and he was saying how per one pensioner, you need 10 times young workforce to be putting into the tax system. So if we have an aging population, you need a workforce. And unfortunately, we're not having babies like the UK used to, because there's not much support from the government for children, for families in general.
Childcare costs.
So we're
living standards.
Exactly.
There's so many things that play a part in that.
So if you're not getting that, the only way you can actually get a workforce, like they did in World War II, to help bring people in, to help with rebuilding of the whole UK, London, everywhere, is by bringing in specialised migrants to come over to pick up these jobs, to, you know, contribute to the tax system, so that people, you know, the pensioners can live, so that, you know, we've got services still running. That's just how things work. But unfortunately, when the far right get information, they will blow it up to fit their agenda, and it doesn't really make any sense. Like,
it doesn't make sense to us.
To us, yeah.
But to them, the reason that this, I think, the reason this makes sense is because if you don't have a job, for example, or you don't have a very good job, and you can use a reason of, well, an immigrant's taken my job, that's much easier than blaming yourself and saying, well, actually, maybe I don't have the skills, maybe I haven't tried hard enough, maybe actually I'm a bit lazy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's much easier to blame somebody else than it is to take the blame on yourself and actually do something about it.
No, definitely.
So for them, it's the most simple solution to a problem. And when you get all of them together, especially with what's been happening in the UK at the moment with the riots and how disgusting it has been, whenever I look at videos, they just look like they're having a great time. They're not really there, let's be honest. They're not really there for a political agenda, partly. They just want to cause havoc and they want to terrorize and they want to get drunk, they want to fight and they want to be angry. And that's why they're doing that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the sad thing is as well, I've seen videos where I think there are kids as well at these rallies.
I saw them in a phone shop. There were people like bashing down all of the, like, you know, obviously the phones are stuck to the
display phones. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And there was a child in there just hitting them. And it's just like, what are you showing these children?
That's it. And yeah,
like, what life you're giving them. And also the fact that you are encouraging your child to do something that's illegal. It's just ridiculous.
It's beyond words. Like, I just can't get my head around how a grown adult would go there with their child, or how they would encourage a child to do violent acts.
Even in that environment.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like, if I saw a child in an environment where there's a lot of violence, literally bricks are being thrown at police, at random people.
Yeah. I know which instinct you're thinking about. You're thinking about the one where they threw the bricks and it hit him in the head and then hit him somewhere else. If you haven't watched that video, please do, because it brings you a lot of joy.
It was one of the actual far-right protesters that got hit by one of the far-right people in the crowd, but with a brick anyway.
We don't promote violence, but it was quite satisfying to watch.
It was. And yeah, it's very sad to see the young kids among those crowds, you know, spewing all this hate, shouting all these Islamophobic chants. And yeah, it's very, very sad. And the thing is, even though that they found out it wasn't a Muslim, or it wasn't someone from the...
For the Southport incident.
Sorry, I should have mentioned that. They still made excuses for the actions.
Like, of course they did.
It's just beyond belief, like, what's happening. Like, we spoke about this not long ago as well, about people, you know, Muslim women's hijab being torn off their heads. And
this was in a video we spoke a little bit about your experiences and our joint experiences of racism as an Asian man, but also as a mixed couple.
That's it.
And within that, we were talking about a woman who had, in Whitechapel, had her hijab ripped off.
Yeah, ripped off her head, pulled off her head. And yeah, it's just so saddening. The thing is, I've always mentioned this to Alex as well, and I said it's always been boiling under the surface. And over time, obviously, unfortunately, the government that we did have, they didn't really tackle the whole issue of far-right extremism in the UK.
They enabled it.
It in so many instances. They didn't, you know... For example, like, I don't want to get too much into politics, but this all goes hand in hand.
Just a little side note before we carry on. I know we don't post a lot about politics on my page or on here. We try not to. But AFSA loves politics, and he's probably one of the most well-informed people about politics I know. So if you ever speak to him and want to have a conversation and start talking about politics...
I'm your man.
He's your man.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's just like... No, it's just because I've been seeing over the years how the narrative has been going with the Tory government that we've had. And, you know, nothing has been tackled, nothing has been, you know, sorted. They say, you know, they spoke a very good game, but they never really did anything. For example, they were still receiving money from one of their donors who was outwardly racist towards...
So it was Diane Abbott.
Diane Abbott. And then, you know, even though they were advised to not...
If you don't know Diane Abbott, she's a black woman. She was one of the first female black MPs, wasn't she?
To be elected into Parliament.
Yeah.
It was shocking. Even though they were advised not to take the donation of 5 million, I believe, at that time, they still made excuses and said it was in his own time. It doesn't matter if you're racist in your own time. If you're a racist, you're a racist. If you've got those type of views...
And if you are a person who is helping to run the country...
And have influence
and you have power, you should not be able to express those views so outwardly and allow that to infiltrate your business, your work life, which obviously is going to... If you have those feelings, you have those feelings.
No, definitely. And it's just shocking. And this is something that we've all seen, you know, especially being someone from being a South Asian Muslim man as well. I've kind of seen it boil under the surface. You know, like I mentioned before, you hear about racism in football, in, you know, chants, and, you know, you think, oh, it's just banter. Everyone puts away, oh, it's just banter, it's football, you know, but you still kind of feel like there's a lot of hatred and they mean everything that they say, you still kind of feel it a little bit. But yeah, now we're here, unfortunately, with everything that's happening in the world at the moment. And yeah, it just feels like a very, very dark place to be.
It really does.
Yeah.
So I posted a video about this on my socials, and one of the viewers commented saying that they used to be really proud of being British, but now with all of this hate, they don't want to be here anymore. They feel that they are not wanted. Is that something that you identify with?
Oh yeah, massively, massively. Let's, for example, like, I love this country. Don't get me wrong. Like, I used to be so proud. You know, I'm always celebrating an England win. I'm celebrating everything to do with Great Britain, everything. You know, I've traveled the country and I'm constantly going on about, like, England, London, talking about Cornwall, talking about Wales, wherever we go. I say there's so many beautiful places in this country to be proud of. But recently, with everything that's been coming out and all of this build-up, it is making me feel like such an outsider, which is sad. Because, again, all my life, I've been working for, how long now? Almost 15 plus years. And I've been putting money into the tax system. I've been working two jobs for almost 15 years, putting money into the tax system, helping the economy. And so many of us Muslim, not just Muslims, but people from an ethnic background have helped this country. But it feels like it's a massive slap in the face when you don't feel welcome as well. But yeah, unfortunately, that's where we are now. And yeah, I do feel very similar to the lady that made that comment as well.
I'm so sorry that you felt that. That honestly breaks my heart to hear that. But I kind of anticipated that that would be how you felt.
Mm.
So you've always been really open with me since the beginning about Islamophobia and racism. And I've spoken before about the fact that I was really unaware of the level of racism and Islamophobia that there is out there.
Mm.
And you've also spoken a lot about how you worry about your mum, your auntie, your sister, and also any of the Muslim sisters and brothers who are easily identifiable, because unfortunately they are more of a target.
Mm.
And that has opened my eyes up so much to what goes on in this world.
Yeah, it's basically, this has always been, obviously, far-right extremism, racism, Islamophobia. It's always been there. And obviously, with social media being so big now, and you know, everyone has access to social media, we are way more informed now than ever. So we are seeing everything. We are seeing, we're hearing all of these incidents.
And also the access to recording equipment, right?
Exactly,
because now, if most people saw something happening that was Islamophobic, racist, whatever it might be, people immediately get phones out and start recording.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
So this information is getting shared way more than it would have previously, which maybe makes it feel like there's a rise in it, but maybe it's always been there and it just hasn't been recorded in the same way.
That's spot on. It's and again, social media can be used, obviously, in the hands of the wrong people. It can go, you know, it could be used for the wrong reasons, but it has done a lot of good as well. It's opened the eyes of so many people that may have never ever witnessed this before.
Yeah.
For example, obviously, for 18, 20 years of your life, you was in Cornwall for, you know, and before you moved to university. Like, I don't know about you, like, I know you, the only thing you really knew about the big cities was from what you heard on the news, what you saw in movies or whatever it may be, however they depicted. And unfortunately, in films, the Muslim man is usually, unfortunately, a terrorist. You know, they class him as terrorist or someone on the bad side of history.
Not just Muslim men, to be fair.
Yeah, not just Muslim men, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, we've had quite a deep chat about this before, and I actually feel really ashamed to kind of even talk about this in this way, but coming from a place that is predominantly white, you are not exposed to people of different ethnicities. So you don't have those conversations, you don't have those good associations with them. All of that is not there. So the only association I had with Islam was the things I saw in media. And sadly, that was violence and terrorism. Now, I'm not stupid enough to think that's the reality, because I didn't ever think that was. Like, I know there's so much more to it. But obviously, when you are infiltrated with this information, and this is all you have and all you know about, how are you going to know any different?
Exactly.
So when I came to London and I saw the diversity, I was really, really excited. And like even the fact, you know, when women wore hijabs, for me, I was of that understanding that they were forced to wear that. Like genuinely, that's how I grew up thinking that they were. We know that in some countries, it is forced on women, but I'm talking specifically about the UK. And many, many women in the UK choose to wear a hijab because they want to, and they want to be closer to God or to Allah, okay? And that is their choice, and that is beautiful. But when I first came to London, I genuinely didn't know that. And when I heard the word Muslim or Islam, the first word that would come into my mind would be terrorism. Not that I thought that they were terrorists, but that was a word that would come into my mind because of how much it was shown on media and in film.
Yeah, and that's, again, it's completely understandable. It's like you're being indoctrinated. It's like, it's
without even choosing to without, or realising.
Without even realising. And again, remember, I did say that when I first did go to Cornwall, I've always, like, and I always had my guard up because I didn't know, you know, what people would think, you know, seeing me with you or seeing me on my own, what, you know. But again, people were lovely. Once you meet them and have an open dialogue and have a conversation, all the preconceived notion or
fears,
ideas that they may have had, it just kind of drops and they see like, oh, you know what, I can have a conversation with this person, you know. And yeah, and it was lovely. Like everyone in Cornwall was nice. And I genuinely think having an open dialogue with people would help so many people.
I agree.
Especially if you're on that side of politics, if you're on the far right and you know you don't really want to associate yourself with this, or you have an idea of what Islam is about, go out, go speak to an imam, go speak to a Muslim person. There's so many misconceptions about Islam, and it's shocking because obviously since you've been around me and my family, you know, like it's not what you see in the media.
No.
They take verses, they, you know, they don't, out of context completely, and then they use it for their, you know, extremist, far-right agenda. In all scriptures, again, in, you know, in the Torah, in the Bible, in the Quran, it always talks about things, about war, about battle. It's all a guideline. But again, it's in Islam, it's all said in a just way. Like, for example, you kill one innocent human, it's like you've killed the whole of humanity. You save one person, it's like you saved the whole of humanity. Violence is not encouraged in Islam. You know, women have so many rights in Islam. If you actually delve into it, you'll be shocked. Again, this is not portrayed in the media. But unfortunately, you know, the far right have taken something and, you know, just they've run with it, and they'll just use any little word from a book without any context, and again use it for their ideas, for their agenda. And unfortunately, it's led to this point that we're in now, where Islamophobia is rife and it's just
open, you know, across the streets, and people are getting attacked and hurt because of this. And yeah, it's really, really horrific.
First thing in the morning, you woke up and you must have seen this on the news or on your phone. And then first thing you said is, can you please make sure your mum, your auntie and your sister and your brothers are okay and safe and don't go out on their own? And then I'm like, okay, yeah, no, of course, I've already spoken to them. Like, we're aware, like, obviously, as Muslims, we are so aware of this kind of thing because it's happened so many times. Yeah. Like, obviously, during 9/11, I was young, but Islamophobia was rife all over, you know, the West.
Thinking about like 9/11, for example, and all any incidents that happen after that, any stabbings, shootings, whatever, the horrific incidents, violent incidents, I think immediately, I don't know about you, but as soon as I hear it, it's almost like I take an inhale and I'm like, please don't be Muslim. And it's because I know that if that person is Muslim, that does not just impact that one person. That impacts a whole community of people, and it enables these far-right people. You know, we've seen it with the Southport incident. The person wasn't even Muslim, but it enabled all of this to happen. And it feels like when things happen, especially if it is somebody that is Muslim, regardless if it's to do with their religion or not, they could be, you know, born Muslim but not actually identify with their religion. But if they are, or they are Asian,
That's
the impact that that has on the Muslim community is huge.
Huge, yeah.
And the threat to them rises significantly, and that's the saddest part about it all. Mm. The fact that people have to be fearful because of somebody else's actions that's completely unrelated to them.
No, definitely. It is shocking. The issue is that I have is there are so many issues. Like, obviously, there's been murders and there's been tragedies that were inflicted on by someone that might be Christian or white.
Yeah.
We don't brush the whole of Christianity with one brush.
Because that would be ridiculous.
It just doesn't make any sense. But I don't know why it feels like it's completely fine. If it's a Muslim person, yeah, attack Islam. That's how we feel.
And no, well, that's because that is what happens.
It's like a green flag. Okay.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah,
you know, you can blame the whole community. Yeah, you could blame teachings of the Quran on this about this, but when it's someone else of a different faith, no.
I mean, like, as a white person, I completely know that I will never, ever, ever experience what you and your family experience. I'm never going to experience that, and that makes me privileged already. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And hearing about your lived experience is just so profound to me, because I would never have known. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I would have never understood what it was like. And again, it goes back to that bit of having a conversation with somebody, listening to them, talking about it, find out what their lived experiences are, find out about their religion, find out about their background. You know, go to Speaker's Corner, for example. I know you really love, do you remember the name of that guy that does Speaker's Corner?
There's a gentleman called Imran.
Yep.
On Speaker's Corner. He speaks very eloquently and he can't really get to you know, if you have any questions about Islam, he will answer it in a way that anyone would be able to understand. And
yeah.
He's very, very approachable. But yeah.
He's fantastic. I feel like you've really enjoyed listening to him and getting to know your religion even more through listening to him. He has a YouTube channel as well where he shares things.
Yeah.
So if you want to go check him out, have a look on YouTube. But just getting those pieces of information, you know, if you hear something, think, hang on a minute, where is that coming from? What is that source? When you tell me a piece of information, what is the first thing I say to you?
Where did you get it from?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or where did you hear that? Or where did you, you know, and then we would literally sit down and talk about it and then find out exactly what, if it is true, if it's not. Again, we're all guilty of making a judgment straight away. Making an assumption, sorry, straight away, as soon as we hear something, because again, it's human nature. You hear something, go, oh, okay, is that true? And you start to lean on the side of, like, you already make a little bit of an assumption.
And especially if it aligns with your views
exactly,
already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, true.
So it kind of just validates those feelings. You're more, because it's biased.
Yeah, yeah.
You're more easily swayed to believing Definitely. That it's true.
And the sad thing is, I have to say as well, sometimes I feel guilty. When I say I've had racism, I know that I'm very, very privileged as well. I haven't had the racism that encounters or experiences that people in other parts of UK might have had. I've never had anything physical.
Or other generations.
Other generations, of course. So I feel that sort of privilege that you might feel, but it's on a different side, because I'm like, oh, I can talk about racism, but for me, it's a very subtle racism. Sometimes it's verbal
systemic stuff.
But however, I know people suffer from, again, women, you know, having physically the hijab being pulled off.
Can we just talk
men
about
being attacked?
My colleague.
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
So we posted a video about an experience of racism that we had, and she commented saying that she was sat on a bus, I think it was.
When she was younger, yeah.
When she was younger, probably about 15, 16, and a group of boys peed in a bottle and chucked it all over her because she was wearing a hijab.
Yeah.
How disgusting is that?
This is what I'm trying to say. It's horrible. So when I hear about these stories and I hear about experiences of, you know, people in up north in Bradford or in Manchester, you know, they're physically being attacked for being a certain skin tone because they follow a different religion to them. It's honestly, it's heartbreaking. And I feel guilty because I come like, I feel like I can't talk about mine because it's nothing to, it's nowhere near as serious as someone else's experience. But then I have to kind of reset and I'm like, everyone's experience of racism is completely different.
And you need to share it.
Yeah,
People
exactly.
need to be aware. And just because somebody had a more terrifying, horrific experience, it doesn't invalidate your lived experience.
No, it's true, true.
And that's what's important. And I know that the kind of a lot of the topics we've spoken about have been, you know, in this episode are really sad and negative. It doesn't feel really nice. So I thought maybe we could end on something a bit more positive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And through all of this negativity, talk about some of the beautiful things that have come from the horrific instances.
Yeah, for example, obviously after the Southport, horrific incident in Southport, and the rioting and the, you know, the violent protests from the far right, you know, the community got together and everyone from all different backgrounds came to, you know, repair the wall of the mosque.
Yeah.
They cleaned up the streets, you know, they swept the streets.
Even, for example, the lady that was stood in the protest, so there was a far right protest.
It's the Southport one as well.
Yeah, the Southport one. She had a sign, stood there by herself, and it read, "Hope not hate, racism not welcome here." To do that, again, you're putting yourself at risk, but you're showing that solidarity with everybody. And that is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, like you said, we do need to champion those acts and those type of people.
And I think what's really important and kind of is our message from this, we were talking about this before, is that we need to try and stay as positive as we can. And I know that's
it's
a hard thing to say, but we need to try and stay positive and be kind.
Mm.
And make sure that this hate does not infiltrate us and don't let them win. As we kind of end this very serious episode, if you would like to send us a message about anything that you've experienced or want to chat about, please do. We'd love to hear from you. It is colour-coded, C-U-L-R-C-O-D-E-D. Until then, stay safe, be kind, and look after each other. Love you, bye.